Today, Ne Yamim Ba'im Nu Hashem, days are coming. Should we listen to Rav Shlomo Karlbach? Yeah.
I like the way he talks.
Days are coming. Days are coming. Oh, days are coming. There'll be a hunger in the world. Starvation in the world, but the hunger won't be for bread, the thirst won't be for water. If you want to hear spirituality, very interesting. Today's Eretz of Rav Shaila. Rav Shaila Karstir was famous for standing up for Yidden when Yidden needed food. World War I. Poverty in World War I. Unbelievable.
Thursday night open house, like anything, no matter what. Yeah.
But the people were starving. They were dying of starvation. So people want to go. So the ikar of the tzaddik is to go in his ways, to continue in his ways, to continue the mahalak that he started.
Everyone's cold, man.
So everyone's cold?
Let's go up.
Should we go upstairs? Want to go in the ways of these tzaddikim? It's not to copy them. Oh, they get food. We're gonna get food. You're not doing what they did. They didn't copy anybody. What they did was they stood up for Yidden to give Yidden what Yidden needed. What was needed? Let's say there was food, was an abundance of food, but there was an issue with clothing. There were worms that were eating clothing. He would be giving clothing. He'd be working in the yarn and making silk and giving cloth and giving. We want to go in the way of the tzaddik. What do Yidden need today? What do we need today? Do we need food, Shmila? No. Everyone's on diets. Everyone's on diets. You go into so much abundance, so much shefa, so many types of. What do we need? That's a nevuah. Hashem says, we speak about this many times. The Medrash brings asara minei ra'av ba'olola. It's 10 famines. 10 times in the Torah there was a famine. I would say, you guys are almost freezing.
Okay.
Right.
count them. What did I say? You call me in for the next 10 days. We're calling them. He's like, you're going to try dealing with them. Speaking to them on the phone.
Sachen. Okay. I'm saying a yid that wants him to daven his original avodas of the tzaddikim. Ask yourself, what do yid need right now? So we say the avodah today is not spiritual, it's not physical starvation, it's spiritual starvation. That's what the Navi is telling him. So that means that today, if you're inspired by a tzaddik, get to the nekuda of what inspired you by him. Don't copy him. That's exactly what's kina. There's a kina title called kina jealousy. Jealousy is one of the worst midot. Very horrible. The whole Pirkei Avos, you guys can learn kina type of covet, kina jealousy. See, Kairach was jealous.
Yeah.
Jealousy is horrible. On the other hand, we have a concept called kinat sufrim tarbe chokhma. Jealousy, like amongst chachamim, increases wisdom. Like, there should be competition. There should be, like, a healthy sense of competition. I'm like, okay, Tatale, whatever you're doing is okay, and you are okay the way you are, like, everyone mediocre. No. There should be a sense of accomplishment, of pushing yourself above, doing more. So how are these things together? Is jealousy good? Is not good? What's the better than jealousy? There's two types of jealousy. There's jealousy that's bad and jealousy that's good. Jealousy that's bad is you. You have something, and I want Chas Shalom what you have.
But there's jealousy of looking up to something.
And the jealousy of good is being inspired by somebody. But the difference is that when I'm inspired by you, I'm happy. I want you to remain you. You're my role model. Like,
not
wow.
Just you, I want you to thrive.
I want you to thrive. Yeah, continue to be you. Be the best you could be. And I will be inspired from you to become the best I that I can be, which will end up be totally different than you. But what I'm getting from you is wow. Be your best. Be your best, something crazy will happen from you.
Because you're the best version of yourself.
Like, right. So you know, we should be inspired. So that's what I'm saying with Reb Shai, that's very important to not be connected to the chitzainess of the Mahalach. Which is like, okay, feed, which is, it's avoided. But to ask yourself, what does Am Yisrael need today? What do we need? Let's man up, right? We were talking this morning about Malcolm Shane Ish. You brought it up. Who brought it up today? Malcolm Shainish, where there's no man become a man. And I told you, who brought it up today? That's a shame. You brought up.
Man
become Malcolm Shainish. If you find an available position, if you see an available position where no one's manning a position.
Oh, from Pirkei Avos, in a place where there are no men, strive to be a man.
Exactly. So that means in a place where there are no men, what does that mean?
In a place where there is a lot of like weakness and fear to do the right thing, do the right thing and stand up. Or
right. So that means that you're going to see, Hashem's going to show you a window where there's a need, there's a lack, and you could man up into that. You know, you could become that.
A few calls for
prekeres
already today.
Yeah,
Avos
is all over the world, no question.
You once said a story on the song, on the spousey of that they won't be thirsty for water, they'll be thirsty for Torah. And you gave a very, like a different pshat. I'm trying to remember, like a very interesting pshat.
What context was it?
It was that more than Torah, like
No, so could be what I spoke about is that there's parts of the Torah. The Torah is called many, many things. The Torah is called wine. It's called honey. It's called milk. It's called bread.
Water.
Water, right? That's when we're learning about Torah. Many, many, many descriptions of the Torah. Now one could say, okay, it's poetic justice. You know, the Torah is nourishment. But the answer is no. There's a specific reason that every, like let's say wine, the wine of Torah describes the secrets of the Torah. While the bread and water describes the simple aspects of the Torah. Just like
the
bread and water.
The
well, just like in nutrition or in food, you have different categories. You have like basic nutrition. You have like the must that you have to have. You know, for that. Right? And then there's luxury. And then there's more and more and more and more and more. Same what we're learning this morning about the pardes of the Torah, the four levels of the Torah. There's the pshat. So the pshat of the Torah is it's called the lechem. Like that's the basic, the bread and water. If you don't know the halachas, like then what are you putting meaning into? Once you know the structure, then you keep on enhancing the structure with meaning, like what we spoke about this morning, right? You have the structure of Yerushalayim, and then you get more meaning and more meaning, and that's good. So the beginning, the pshat levels of the Torah are called, so loyra of lalechem, but at some time, people are not going to want the pshat. They're not going to want the parts of the Torah. Look at everyone in yeshiva here. Most guys, like, they know everything. They got hundreds on the test, but like, okay, I'm not interested. Like, where's like... Where's the goodies? Where's the love? Where's the excitement? Where's the juice? Where's the mystery? Where's the good stuff? You know. So they want the Shema's difference. They want the deeper meaning. That's why the world today is running after Kabbalah. If I told you, we were sitting here 200 years ago when the Jews were pogroms in Europe. There was nothing. There was no Jewish value that was cherished by the non-Jews. Like imagine today, you could say that the non-Jewish world are fascinated by Kabbalah, by mysticism. They want to learn at the Hollywood stars. And...
Yeah.
Whoa. That was a... What was that?
Ceasefire.
No, I just don't... I never know if it's a thunder. It became a norm because like when you hear thunders, you make a bracha. And the thunders and these... The rockets, they sometimes sound exactly the same. You also have these rumbling sounds, same thing. It's not weather manipulation.
I'm not seeing it's only that, but I'm just saying that... Let's just say it's far more advanced than you could comprehend.
What, weather manipulation?
No, just the technology of this
world. No, it's beyond.
This technology of this. You know, there was a recent operation where they caught like the president of Venezuela, yeah. The American government.
Right.
They did that. They went in there.
With waves.
It was like a few guys and I think with waves, with frequencies.
Waves.
Everybody
yeah.
fell down and had nosebleeds.
All
the guards fell down and got nosebleeds. That's how they basically like killed nobody. They went in safely. They didn't have to deal with anything. They just...
Wild.
I mean, being a conspiracy theorist, I knew about that stuff before. But it's like now it's public.
What's
it's like,
crazy
no
is what the world
anymore.
Calls a conspiracy, and it's just conspiracy. Like 80 or 90% of those things are
that's
true,
serious,
but they're
yeah.
just labeled as conspiracy to keep them in the.
You have to keep an open mind because there's always going to be the stuff that's counteracting the real truth, like the real truth. So they're going to be like, okay. You're talking about the clouds. Oh, you're also you must be a flat earther or something. We're like, you know,
what?
Hitler
was
flat
a lizard,
earther.
Right?
Like, that's just an example. Of, like, you get labeled with false conspiracies of like just like,
no,
and there's also like brain rot conspiracies of like conspiracies between
you know
celebrities.
You know the Jews
distract you and
like the Jewish conspiracy is the ultimate conspiracy that this world doesn't even exist.
It's just Jews.
It's Eilam HaSheker.
This
world is Eilam HaSheker, and actually this whole facade that we call reality, all the planets and molecules and everything are just a passing place to get to a total different area where everything you're seeing now is actually going to have a reverse or different or higher meaning. Like, totally, like, wow.
You know, there's people that say that the moon is man-made. Like, the moon is made up.
It's
like
called moon.
It's like a machine. There's a machine. There's like a machine in the moon that connects with like our cells.
Yeah,
it's
even a fake moon thing that they just couldn't get past.
Okay. Let's not get carried away. I'm saying that there's that the moon is an actual machine. It's not like a.
Yeah, someone was playing like a ball, and it was like a huge ball.
No, they did it with wires. Like if you open up the moon, like there's wires.
The sun shines through the moon. What is it? Flush through the moon. It's just like the moon's.
Yeah, but you know how many people don't even are not aware of like the basic planet that they live in.
The basic astrology too, just like
astronomy. Most of are. What's the moon connected to them? What's the when does a guy living in the city spend time looking at the moon?
When do people look up?
Right. When they look in the star in the city, you don't even see the stars. What are you going to look up to? The sea?
You didn't look up.
Pollution?
Though. Where did you not meant to look at the moon? Like outside of Kiddush.
Correct.
Why?
Because the moon right now is in a state of shame. You don't look at someone when they're in a state of shame.
But it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's so romantic. I want to tell you something.
No, it's so shiny.
Once we're talking about beautiful, shiny things you don't look at, let's talk about the rainbow. You don't look at a rainbow.
Why not?
But it's so beautiful. Because what's a rainbow?
Double rainbow.
Man. What's a rainbow?
It's a reflection.
What's a rainbow? What's the spiritual of what?
That we said
the map.
What is Hashem telling you when you see a rainbow?
I'm going to flood you out.
This is instead of a flood. So we're like, whoa, it's so beautiful. Like, it's stop and take notice. Like, whoa.
My water, like my rain right
God's
now.
Saying that really, when Noah came out of the Teva, God made a promise to him that he's not going to flood the world anymore. And as the treaty, the bris that they did was Kashti Natati Ba'anan. So he says, I'm going to put my Keshas Ba'anan, and you're going to see it. This is my bris. And when you see it, there's a special bracha that we make. When we see the rainbow, make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Zocher HaBrit. Hashem remembers his bris. Ve'neman be'brisai. That he's loyal to his bris. Ve'kayam be'ma'amare. That he keeps
it.
You make the bracha loud, you make a zion, but we don't look at the rainbow. Again, because looking at the moon right now is in a state of shame. The moon right now is not in its ultimate state.
So what happens if you look at it?
It's also in the kind
of, huh? What happens if you look at the moon? Yeah.
Something, I don't know.
If Chachamim, I want to tell you something. If you go into a room and there's a group full of smart people, and everyone calls them the smart people, and they tell you something, I'm just saying, you could listen or you cannot listen. But if you're listening, you're part of the smart people. And if not, you're part of the other people.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, it's, again, what happens if you don't listen to the smart people? I don't know. You play funny games, you get funny prizes. I don't know what's going to happen to you. But if you listen to the wise men, you know, that's what the mission... Pirkei Avos.
I'm just curious what the meaning of... Like,
Pirkei Avos teaches you. You're going to learn Pirkei Avos. You're going to learn Shmili. Heve zanav la'arayot.
Right.
You're better off being the smallest lion, the weakest link in the lion group, the tail of the lion, so to speak, and not be the head of the fox. Understand? We are zanav la'arayot. It's our schus that we could say, you know, Chachamim tell me this. I have the same way I have Emunah in Hashem, I have Emunah in Chachamim. The Chachamim don't do anything on their own. The Chachamim are just an extension of Hashem. Chachamim, it's usher for them, the Baal Taisiv, it's usher for Chachamim, and they would never, on their own, they're loyal and transparent to the Shekhinah, to whatever Hashem wants. They can't, they don't want to add anything.
I heard it as a sheep in Hashem, in God's pasture, but a lion to the world, to the
West. Say that again. That Hashem guides pasture.
No, I don't know if it's true, but like, is it like being a sheep, in the sense of listening to like Hashem, like that, but then like a lion and fierce to the world. Like
that's exactly you're describing, David HaMelech. You are describing right now the personality of the Midah of Malchus. We are Am Yisrael B'nei Melachim. We are kids of the Midah of Malchus, and that's exactly what we're embodying. Mizmor David Adonai Ro'i Lo Echsam. David HaMelech refers to himself as a sheep. Hashem, you're my shepherd. Does a sheep ask the shepherd what to do? Is there, meaning, you could be the smartest sheep in the group, but like, bro, you're a sheep. There's a shepherd here. Like the difference between sheep and human, there's no, like the most enabled human is more able than the most able sheep.
Yeah, it's like the generations before me followed you. I'm following you.
Okay, so that's so. But there is a tremendous the Munas Tzadikim and Moschach Munas and Hashem that David HaMelech, one of the names of David HaMelech that the Gemara discusses, Adino HaEtzni, one of the big ministers of David HaMelech. The Gemara darshans it about David himself. Adino HaEtzni. Adino is Meloshim Adin, totally sensitive. And etzni is like etz, like a strong, like a tree. So he's saying to Hashem, he's saying to you, I'm a worm. I'm like total female, total bittul, total. When it comes to the world, I'm a king, and I go out and I kill 10,000 and kill. I'm gonna chase my enemies, destroy them. So that having that emunas chachamim, if you could, the truth is that what gives the person the koyach to be that strong lion in the lower world is because he's a sheep in the higher world. Because you know it's not you. You're allowing the flow of Hashem to just flow through you. So you're fighting the fight of Hashem. It's not about you.
I still want to know, why it's bad. I hear that you're
why
not
bad that what?
To look at the moon.
I told you, because the moon, again, I'm going to tell you this, what I told you this morning. Is any explanation that we could discuss, time and mitzvahs, there are many, many reasons for mitzvahs. There's Sfarim, and there's Chassidus, and there's Kabbalah, many, many, many reasons. However, none of them are the reason we do the mitzvahs. The reason we do the mitzvahs is because Hashem, you're the king. Meaning, the basic mindset that the Yid has his entire life is Hashem, you're the king, and I'm your nation. At first, understand that. Like, a king and a person is like, you don't ask the king, there's no discussion. Like, the king says, Hashem is Avinu Malkeinu. He's also Avinu. He's not only our king. He's also Avinu. So, Alts Avinu, from the Avinu part, we do have the love, we do have the Heimishkeit, we do have the understanding, but he's not only Avinu. He's too Heimish with Hashem, it's not going to work. You can't forget the Malkeinu. The Avinu Malkeinu. So Hashem tells you that when your friend is embarrassed, don't look at him.
Someone's embarrassed now.
No, let's say Chas V'Shalom. Let's say Chas V'Shalom. You have a simple embarrassment. So you're walking and you stumble and you fall down. I don't know, you're just really embarrassed. And a really embarrassing happens to you in your standards. Should I just sit there staring at you?
Don't be another onlooker. No.
Right. That makes it worse. Enough. It's menschlich. Don't see your friend is upset. Don't look at him.
But do you look at your friend when he's shining? Guy.
Of course.
Okay, the moon shining.
No, the moon. If it's in the entire moon, the entire state of the Malchus is in the state of galus.
Maybe say why.
The
moon
is
shining. The
moon has no light. But the light that you're seeing now is the reflection of the sun reflecting in the moon. The moon has no light in its own.
Because they want it to be bigger, no?
Again, this discussion of what happened in the moon, Miyuta Reach, is unbelievable. We're not going to get into it now. There's whole deep, deep, deep understandings of this.
The sun, I tried to look at it and it didn't last too long.
Yeah, that's
no, there's timings. Look at the timing. Sunrise and sunset. The right timing of the sunrise and sunset is actually good for your eyes.
Right. They say that if you look...
It's circadian rhythm. And it's
two minutes to look at the sun at sunrise, they say.
That's what it is. Because I saw somewhere that said it's healthy to look at the sun. I'm like, wait a minute. But if you look at the sun, you could complain. But then that's what probably meant, that you have to look at it at the right time.
The sunrise?
What?
The middle
of the day is all 10 minutes
of pure sunlight.
Whoa.
This is
us, buddy.
Yeah.
It's what? Sorry, that's my tummy rumbling. Keeping
me talking. All right, let's go.
So sunrise is healthy.
Yes.
And it won't.
But how does it work with the eyes, with the UV and all that, the rays?
Yeah, UV is bad.
It's more of a red thing, so it's as if you're.
So it's like that filter.
So if you catch it at the right time.
Let's say it's not yellow. It's not yellow yet. You're gonna see it red.
Yeah, red and warm. And right. You could look at it. You could see it.
And then it's healthy for your.
It's very healthy for you to be.
That makes sense.
For the right melatonin production at the right timing and the right season and the right
My new name for Yehuda is my natural. You're my natural remedy.
My natural remedy.
Just call him professor. Call him professor. That's it.
That's so smart. Cause I kept seeing someone was saying, it's smart to look at, and then I can't believe I'm saying this. I tried it. UV was at 10.
And you're like, why? And I black dots now everywhere.
For the next 20 24 hours, I literally couldn't, it was terrible. I was
just
scary.
That it's actually dangerous because if you look at it, it actually burn a hole through the corner of the eye. Did you ever light a
this person should get sued, this person that put
it. Did you ever light a fire with a magnifying glass?
And it burns.
So that's what your eye is, exactly. Imagine that your eye is just receiving all that, and then. Yeah.
But this guy was saying, and what he didn't tell you is that the time to look at it is sunrise. Meanwhile, people like me are at risk of
sunglasses and being out in the sun. Sun tanning. If you're laying down sun tanning with sunglasses on. You're telling your brain, oh, it's darker, produce melatonin. Okay, now there's no, what's the thing? melanin in your skin. Yeah. It's not going to produce it because the sunglasses are making your brain think that it's melatonin time. It's like
sunglasses are not good when you're tan.
Yeah, no.
I don't usually wear another one.
How did they survive in the old days when they didn't have color?
We had a different way of living. We didn't have enough so much contamination in the food. People weren't eating seed oils.
There wasn't Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Ruining our chicken.
I'm sure there was always the Bill Gates.
What's this, Blu-ray or DVD?
No,
I don't think so.
What's Blu-ray or DVD?
Blu-ray.
All right, Chaver, let's jump into a little bit of a serious topic. Achrei Mois Kadoshim. Besides, so we spoke yesterday about Arna Koyen, Bishar Arna Koydish, Yom Kippur. Okay, that's the beginning of the Parsha. One of the main parts of this Parsha is the end of the Parsha, is what you read on Yom Kippur. I don't know if you guys remember Yom Kippur by Mincha. The reading of the Parsha Achrei Mois. We read about Arayas, the prohibition of a man to be with his 15 relatives. Your sister, your mother, your aunt, we're all surrounded by women. You're born, the family unit is surrounded by women. You have many, many women in your circle. Hashem says, no, everything you have around you is not yours, don't touch. Go find yourself a stranger and get married. Okay? It's very easy. I mean, people living in this close structure to in the old cultures, it's like that. In the South, it's still like that, right?
Why are these here, Lavin?
Anis is a mitzvah. Ben Achim.
Doesn't it mess with the algorithm of, what do you call it?
The DNA, the crisscross side, no?
Again,
you're taking instructions with the creator of the DNA. So he knows his DNA, he knows what's going on.
And people have done it and it works well.
Our nation, yeah, right? Sure. Avram Avinu married Sarah, isn't he?
There's
a lot of deep stuff too. I think it's the knowledge of the now. People know they're picky with their strains and the others. Like family lines, like in the Jewish community, okay, like they'll look back and they'll be like, that person, that family, sometimes it's unfortunate, but they're like, that family, like, two generations back, or their cousins, or this or that, I went off the derech, and because of that, we can't make the shidduch arrangement. And it was like,
yichus is a big thing. Grandpa's very picky on yichus. About a shidduch, he goes through the
yichus. Yeah. How many generations he checks?
I don't know, but a lot.
What does he look for?
Kosher.
How many are you supposed to check?
I don't know how to check.
For kohanim, mishnas, and both of them is bechel amala. Once you check upon someone.
Like, how many generations back are you supposed to go?
The yichus is good, yeah. The yichus.
But how many?
It's amazing that the Jewish meaning, as a nation, I believe that we're the only religion or culture or whatever you want to call it, I don't know, Yiddishkeit, that has this. We have every single Jew has a pure bloodline. Pure.
But how many are you supposed to, how many fathers are you supposed to go back?
You don't have to. You don't have to. The mission says for Kohanim have to check, but Israel don't have to check. You want to make sure that you're getting from a mishpacha that's no pagam. If there's a pagam in the mishpacha, it manifests afterwards. A lot of issues that happen is because of mamzerim. Mamzerim is a big issue. A lot of people that they have issues that they have with their own kids is spiritual issues of mamzeris. It's a very deep topic. It's a very scary topic to talk about. The most important time in your life was the thoughts that your parents had at your conception.
And that's our fault.
Right, you're like, oh man, I'm late.
While
being together, the level of Kedusha, the entire, how the seed was put into the ground. You could ask him. I have a friend in Mexico that invests in all kinds of things. One of his, and he told me that he bought this seed for a coconut, they produce coconut oil, you're gonna hate this, that was genetically like mutated, like they've told me they put into it like nutrition for like a couple of thousand years. He spent $300,000 on a seed. And from that, they're like, and that's gonna up their production like crazy. Like
coconut's growing.
Yeah, so on coconut. So you see like the level, obviously the whole seed, you could only develop as much as your original, seed, kavyachal. And that's really, really how we're made.
So these new ones are
so there's nine. Forget about the coconuts. Now let's get back to the topic. There's nine types of kids that even though the parent, like if a parent, if a chas v'shalom, a man has a relationship with a woman, let's say a married woman, out of marriage, chas v'shalom, that kid is a mamzer. What's a mamzer? A mamzer is someone that doesn't know his father. Now, if you chas v'shalom don't know who your father is, I mean, there's no prototype father in your mind, you know, you'll become absolute chutzpah. Because there's no one, you have nothing governing in you in your mind. Abba and Ima is not just father and mother outside. It's also Alpi Kabbalah, it's positions, it's levels of the neshama that exists in our mind. Even physically, our mind is divided into a male brain, a female brain. All these things are contained. The father and mother that we are and that we had is very deep.
So what is it?
So if a person is chashon with his wife, if he's chashon thinking of a different woman, that kid could come out a spiritual mamzer. You understand? A person could be drunk or angry or fighting. There's all kinds of states. B'nai tisha nashim. There's all these. So understand that these inyanim are very, very, very important to how a person is made. That's why the whole inyan of kiddushin is a woman.
Does it go from what they were like? Is in their subconscious or what it's, like it's, whatever? Or is only during?
No, it's their general level.
Okay.
Of where they're holding. Specifically what they were thinking at that time. Like specifically at those thoughts that were the most strongest thoughts. But definitely you produce, you know, like you produce yourself, whatever you are. You're reproducing yourself. So whatever level you're at, like that's why you're like in every one of us in a certain way, is like his father in a certain way and his mother's a certain way. And you have your father's and mother's good, bad, and ugly, the whole situation, you know.
That's terrible. I mean, it's good too.
I'm not sure if it's important to, meaning to grade it right now how it is. Just first realize that it is,
and there's pros and cons.
And understand that it's up to us to stop generational trauma. It's up to us to stop. Meaning, if it's in your control, that's
good. Also, your parents did that from their.
They got exactly. And their, they got it's
like
at that point when you become a parent, you could forgive your parents and realize that they're. Everyone's doing the best they can and trying the best they can and just like let go. And if you, instead of being upset at your parents, man up and do a better job than them. Let's see you being the stronger link in the chain. Not to be a victim, not to continue the abuse. Because, right, abuse, chas v'shalom, if it's not taken care of, will produce a similar abuse.
And someone saying like, he doesn't want to get married because his father was like very bad father to him, so he doesn't
want to
have kids.
Wow.
Because he doesn't want to be a bad father.
Right, you're right, you're right. You know what? That breaks my heart when I hear that because. It's such a real defense that this person is putting up from a real place, and they're right. Alavai that this person or all these anyone that's thinking this way should have the koyach to realize that we're not victims of anything. Meaning, whatever you were born, you should know there was tzaddikim. There was one big tzaddik when Tamid Baal Shem, I forgot who it was, he said that, and people thought that like, wow, is for sure like his father had the biggest yichudim in Kavanas, and he said that actually he was born like one of the lowest neshamas in this generation, and through his actions he became to be one of the highest. There's no end to what level he could be.
That's a Rebbe Nachum Lefter, I think it's
about
that. No, the Tanya speaks about it, of course. The Tanya discusses how a person could become a tzaddik, and the Tanya says that even though that when you really 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 try as hard as you can, that's when Hashem says, oh, you can't do it yourself. I'm going to send you another neshama of another tzaddik to get impregnated inside of you. It's called Ibu Neshamot. That's not Gilgul. Gilgul is when a neshama fails to do its mission, comes back to the world, gets reincarnated. Galgal Chozer goes back into the wheel, goes back into the system. Ibu is a neshama that's in Shemaim. It's in its place. It's in its level. But it could bring down a spark. The neshamas are like spheres. They could be connected. If let's say right now you're chalashing to do achnasas arachim. That's your thing. You're feeding and you're getting people sleeping in your room, even your own bedroom. Like there were tzaddikim that had nothing. They have people sleeping. So you're doing as much as you can. And now you want to do more, but you can't. So what happens? A different tzaddik that already was nifter, maybe even Avram Avinu, that was his inyan, will say, wait, there's a guy in the world that's doing my job. So I'm coming to join him. And suddenly you feel like another strength and another siyata d'shmaya, and your mazel goes strong. Like mamish, like you feel like there's someone pushing you up the hill. And it really is. Someone's really pushing you up the hill. That's what because the neshamas are all one. That's what the Balatanya. That's what the Balatanya teaches. I just want to finish this. That's how we say Hashem tells you be a tzaddik. We swear be a tzaddik and don't be a rasha. Right. That's how the Tanya starts. That every neshama before comes to the world, he swears I'll be a tzaddik. And then the Tanya goes on to tell you that That alavai that you're a beinani. Tzaddikim are born. Look, so then wait. So what did I swear to Hashem that I'll be a tzaddik? Like, if best case I'll be a beinani, then tzaddikim are like, you know, a couple of people in the generation swore to God. The rest, no. Why is every single soul swear to God that they'll be a tzaddik? Because every single soul could graduate to a level where they're so cashed out of their own koyach that then a neshama of a tzaddik will become an ibur in them, and then their attack could be called a tzaddik because it's the tzaddik living inside of you. And right now, you and the tzaddik are doing one work together, so you become the level of the tzaddik. Okay, that's the end of Perek Yudal. Tosafot over there speaks about ibur neshama.
But wait, I was going back to the question before. How many, like, for since I'm a Yisrael, how many generations did my parents go back, like, to check?
Some people have yichus, and people don't have yichus.
What do you mean? What's
like, so, for example, my family, you have, like, people that are into family trees.
Yeah. What is yichus and not yichus, though?
Yichus means you could trace back to who you come from.
So yes, since I'm Israel, I don't have
Yichus. No, Israel, of course you do. I'm also Israel. But let's say there's some families that have Yichus.
Like I'm from the Shalta.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. So you know what? Shlomo Greenwald is also
we have a perfect
tree. Line to the Baal Shem. Yeah.
You're probably related to Shlomo Greenwald. He's also.
Yeah, yeah. Mendy Berkowitz is 10 generations of Baal Shem.
That's also Shlomo Greenwald.
Mendy's over here.
Mendy's the chef.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Shlomo Greenwald said he's also 10 generations.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. His families have Yichus to the Maharal. My family has Yichus to the Maharal. Maharal Prague. So the Maharal had Yichus to David HaMelech. Through Rashi. Rashi Adur.
Right. Yeah.
Right, so all they go back to Rashi. To
how David can HaMelech. I, let's say, you know...
So you could see if someone in your family, sometimes you have like an interesting uncle that like... There's always like one family has like one guy that's like that's into the family yeah. tree.
Well, yeah, we have our grandparents. My grandfather.
You should look for it. It's fascinating. It's like... It's actually something I want to print and put up. It's beautiful to see.
I'm saying, how do I know? How do I know if I'm Jewish?
You're Jewish, 100%.
Okay. Okay.
Oh boy, you're Jewish.
Your mother Jewish? Okay.
So no, but I'm saying, how do I know that she is and her mother's mother's mother?
No, so we know. So I'll tell you what. So that job, your father's rabbi who married your parents off did. Like the rabbi will not marry anyone off unless there's certain other Judaism.
So now that's what I'm asking. How many generations back to that?
For you, your parents are enough because your parents are, you're born. You don't have to check. Like, let's say if when you get married, it was Baruch Hashem. Let's say your father-in-law is going to want to know that yes, you know, Moshe is a gevalt guy and he's a tzaddik and he's a talmid chacham, but does he have yichus? So he'll look at that, then he'll find out who's your zaydin.
But that's going to be a problem because, like, my parents aren't going to be involved in. So how do they?
You want to tell you this generation, half of this generation is Bali Tshuvas. I have no idea who anything was, and everything's okay. Kol b'sedah. Don't worry about it. If you marry into Rebbe's family, we'll take care of you.
That's our lucky
thing. Now you don't have those problems. Okay.
It's true, but a lot could also not in that.
You for sure, find aspect. Someone. Like something.
I think that anyone that's alive today, that must be easier.
Yo, imagine I'm connected to the Rebbe Nachman. Sick.
So my wife's family, one side of them is connected to the Grah, like straight to the Grah.
Whoa.
One side directly to Kuzmir, to Chassel Kuzmir, like also like, but that was very strong Yichus. Not everyone knows their Yichus. It's like someone in the family kept it very strong.
But how could someone like what's in the Baal Shem Tov, how could he have like 1,000 Yichus lines, like?
What do you mean? If you have 5 kids, and each one of those kids has 5 kids, take that 10 generations, that's like a universe of kids. You got tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of different families. From you are infinite, my friend Moshe. You see yourself right now as like being a detail on your family tree, but you could also look at yourself 1,000 years down the line as being the top of the pyramid of your tree. And that's really, really, anyone that's involved in Yichus, it's called Yichus Atzmi. The ultimate Madrega in Yichus is not, wow, who do you have? Like, I have a picture of my Zayda on the wall. I'm asking you a question. Does your Zayda have a picture of you on his wall?
Yeah.
That's Yichus.
That means like, mean that your grandchild will have a picture of you?
No, that means that if your only Yichus is, my Zayda, but you're a Joe Schmo, then that's not Yichus.
My grandfather said that, like, some people are like, have the like, gava. You know my grandfather was?
Right.
This is how, like,
right.
It's like, it should bring you down in a way of, like, look how big he was, like, and I'm not, so I gotta try to be.
Wow.
I'll still also be a tzaddik. Some people, like, doing whatever they want, like, you know, as I do, I'll just be a tzaddik. Like, who are you, like?
Right, so it's your Zayda right now putting a picture of you and saying, look at my ankle, look how it's been. So the main yichus is yichus atzmi make is taking yourself seriously and realizing that you're also the end of a chain, but you're also the top of a pyramid.
Right. Craziness.
Okay, so we start off saying that at the end of this parsha, Hashem tells us, "Kemase eretz Mitzrayim, kemase eretz Knan." As I took you out of Mitzrayim, I'm bringing you into Canaan. Let me tell you about their cultures. Both of them were sexually corrupt. Absolutely. Egypt, we know, the ancient days, the whole Zirmat Susim Zirman, my mom should compare like horses and donkeys. The whole thing there was corruption and disgusting and Ma'aseret Canaan. That's what was that. When the Yidden came here, it was the same thing here. Everything was married to everything. There was no marriage. Everything was, you know, whatever was around was around. That was my Sefer Tzkanan. And Hashem says, I'm taking you out of these cultures and I'm going to bring you into a place that's also, and I want you to see from them how not to be. I want you to your purity, your Kedusha is going to be your job, but I'm going to bring you to a place of absolute impurity to see what they're doing, and I'm going to tell you, don't do what they're doing. Do it holy. And that's what you're going to tell your wife, B'zat Hashem. Hare at mekudeshet li.
K'dat Moshe
v'Yisrael. And Masechta's Kiddushin is the Masechta of women. The holiest thing that you have in your life is your wife. That's what's called Kiddusha. You have your tefillin. Tefillin is not always, not Shabbos. Your wife is... Hare at mekudeshet. Masechta's Kiddushin, that's Kiddusha. Where is Kedusha? Only where it was together erva. Only where the same way chametz is not chametz, only if it could become chametz and it doesn't become chametz. Rice doesn't grow, doesn't rise. So it cannot become chametz. Only where there could be potential damage, there could be potential building. That's how Hashem made it. So that's why the Yetzara, Barayot, Yetzar sexuality, the improper sexuality we see till today is rampant. It's a Yetzara that's driving the world nuts, right? Learn psychology, according to Freud, it's the engine of man, what drives all men, the drive for sexuality. And it's really, really, that's the chitzonis. It's really, what's driving us is the drive for Kedusha. Hashem says, where are you going to learn Kedusha? In the place that there could be Tumah. I'm going to bring you to a place where there could be Tumah. K'maase Eretz Mitzrayim. So that's why we read this parasha, we also read it in Yom Kippur. Good afternoon. Everyone's holy. Everyone's in shul, and we're saying that there's many reasons why we read it then, but everyone is connected to this, whether it's in thought and speech and action. Look at how much Pirkei Avos, Atah B'Sichei Ma'isha, distancing yourself from all zinyanim.
It speaks about your wife,
of course. Yeah, don't be like not to become like a small talker in that sense. Because once you become a small talker, a schmoozer, like, you're going into like, using your speech in a way of like, very, you know, not in the way it should be.
I actually never understood it. It's like, don't speak to your wife so much?
No, it's not so much. Tar b'sicha. I mean, I don't speak more than necessary. The Arizal, at one point, didn't speak to anyone at all. Only he would only speak to his wife on Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah Kodesh.
By the way, the house that I was staying in before, like, in the States... Like they were like a Hasidish family, and it was very interesting that the husband and wife like barely ever talked. It was like they were.
No, they were married, and then Shabbos,
it was also like
they didn't want to get married.
It was like they talked, but not even. But like during the week, like they'll walk past each other, they're like nod or whatever. It was very like, I was there for like two months, languages. And it was the most interesting thing. It's like, but they were always busy. Like one was busy with the kids, and one was busy with this. The tzaddikim and tzaddikas, just I didn't understand. Like the communication was way off. But they were all 12 kids, everyone's happy, happiest environment, like happiest can be.
Okay.
But is that what you, is that how it makes sense? Like that they just know that they're not supposed to really talk so much.
I'm not sure of the secret of their success and their siyata d'shmaya. Hashem should continue to bless them with siyata d'shmaya.
They're holy, holy
it's,
people.
Communication is not necessarily, especially with women, you learn this, that it's not about quantity. It's about quality. Really, really, that's how it is.
Mostly.
I believe that that's the deeper. I believe that's one of the deeper meanings of this. Is al tarba. Don't think that you need to speak to your wife a lot. You have to speak to her deep. You have to speak to her real. Okay. Speak to her quality. Give her what she needs. Listen to her. Give her the kavod. It's not about spending a lot of time and a lot. Meaning
less is more when you put more into the less.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't know. When I see these kind of things, it helps me remember. Like, okay. That's why, like the Gemara thing this morning, bringing that up, it's just like the way I would question. Just like
which Gemara thing?
It's just like the. It was something about like questioning too much, like the.
You want Mishnayos?
Yeah,
exactly. I spoke yesterday about learning Mishnayos before you learn Gemara. One second. First, learning Mishnayos, then learning Gemara.
Yeah.
What happens if they talk a lot? If husband and wife.
Kol amar besicha im aisha ubatel midivrei Torah v'sofo yoresh
genom. Something bad will come out of
it. Meaning down the line, if you become like too much of a womanizer and too much, is like they're just going to schlep you into it. Women is an addiction. A guy called me last night, like crying, like I was like, "You going to go rehab? This that?" He's like, "I don't do any drugs. I just want to go." He's like, "I'm just with women. I just can't handle it." Like addicted. It's if a person gets into it.
I think that's a codependency.
Don't be with other women. Pshita. Aisha says pshita. Another man's wife. You shouldn't look at her. B'chalal. Aisha filu mechora. It's nothing to do with another woman's. We have to understand that. You know, I had even kids come up to me and say, "Why are religious people so strict about men and women?" Like, they really wanted to understand this. And I remember once an 8-year-old at this bar mitzvah, we had this conversation. He came with his parents. He had a question he wanted to ask. And I told him, I said, "You see how easy it is and how wrong things could be. You see how easy it is to get the slippery slide from like saying hello to who knows where it could lead." Like, kids understand this from TV. He's like, you're right. It's like, we're not extreme. This is a...
You're saying you can't balance? You can't, like...
Balance what? Just schmoozing with women?
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
The commission says no.
No, that's what I'm saying. Is if your creator is telling you, listen, I created in your fiery passion, I created women, and if you're going to get involved, if you're going to get over-involved, it's going to schlep you to the wrong places. You're going to be schlepped to the wrong places. You're going to not like yourself. You're not... It's going to become like an addiction. You don't enjoy it anymore. It becomes the whole issue. Becomes that you're addicted to it. You hate it. And you're running after it. And it's your own way. It's mamish, the whole addiction.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Okay. So again, we're gonna learn Medrash in this year. Eventually, I want to get some more Medrash so you guys could see inside, because the style of the Medrash is very, very dense, very condensed, very unique. Like we said, the Medrash will bring a topic in the Parsha, and then blast off to possible different interpretations from different psukim, Shira Shirim, Koheles, Eicha, anywhere. Shira Shirim, Kesheshana ben Achareicha. Hashem says, "Kesheshana ben Achochim, ken rayati ben abanot." Hashem compares the Jewish nation like a rose growing in it's also in the thorns, and it's also ben Achochim, it's also in the garlics. This is, Zohar brings about, it's interesting for you, Yehuda,
yeah,
that when they want to make this special roses that have like really dank smell, they grow the roses amongst the garlic. Is that something that you still do today?
I've had and like apparently like the intensity and things, and you get like a space.
So the intensity of the garlic will actually intensify the sweet smell of the rose. And like, right, you're trying this, right?
Intensify the sweetness of the rose.
Garlic in general is very interesting, because garlic. What is garlic? Is it sweet? No. Once you cook it's beautiful, it's sweet like honey. When you cook garlic, if you caramelize garlic, it's sweet. When it's raw, it's bitter. once it's caramelized, it's sweet. So you see that all these have these potentials that when, and its flip side, actually, it has the that fire or that venom or whatever makes it spicy. When it's sweetened, becomes like a very, very potent sweet smell.
Garlic gets sweet? I thought onions get sweet.
So do onions.
Yeah, but I didn't know.
Okay.
So garlic comfy.
Experiments in the dorm tonight. Yeah, let's
comfy,
go.
Comfy, comfy. Like, I feel like Bruce it gets more of like a savory. It gets more of a savory.
Not okay, next time you're doing a barbecue.
Sorry.
Go to the store. See the barbecue. Maybe tomorrow we'll have to discuss. Tomorrow, Wednesday, and we'll do it.
Wait, no, tomorrow's... We have chef of garlic.
So take a garlic, a whole head of garlic.
Yeah.
Don't peel it. With the peels, leave it. Just peel the outside level so like it looks like a flower. Put it in oil, and next time you barbecue, just barbecue it, or just put it in an oven, and you'll and taste
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you could also like roast it in an oven, like comfy.
It will come out sweet. Okay, but we're getting off topic now. So Shoshana ben Achoichim, the Achoichim is not the regular Shoshana. The regular Shoshana Achoichim is thorns. Hashem says that I'm comparing my nation to a beautiful rose that's growing through the thorns. Am Yisrael is being developed through the 70 nations. The 70 nations are thorny, they're bloody, they're sharp, they're hurting. You touch them, they're right there. And Am Yisrael is soft, the rose is very soft. There's many, many inyanim. Why Shoshana is Am Yisrael. So in order to discuss this pasuk, Kemaisa Eretz Mitzrayim, that Hashem is saying, like the actions of Eretz Yisrael that I took you from, and like the actions of Eretz Canaan that I'm taking you to, which is sexual morality. In order to discuss this, we're going to bring this pasuk from Shir Hashir. That Am Yisrael, Hashem praises Am Yisrael that we're kashashana ben achoichim, like a rose amongst the thorn bushes, a rose that's growing through the garlic or through the difficulties, or difficult conditions. These are the symbolism. That there's beauty that's being grown in difficult conditions. Rabbi Yitzhak Patar Kra, he's solved this. Meaning, that solve is not the right word because it's not like a word, but liftor. It's like a dream. When you have a dream and someone interprets exactly, interpreting the dream. He interpreted. Meaning, this person could be interpreted to many, many different ways. He interprets this about Rivka. Yitzhak was 40 years old. Avram takes Eliezer, says, "Go get me a shidduch for Yitzhak." And it says over there that Yitzhak was 40 and he took Rivka, Bas Besul, Arami, Ganze Yichas, we're talking about Yichas. Imagine that you're going to meet this beautiful girl, great, Tzadekis, best Midas, perfect, unbelievable, right? Straight from Shorty. And you say, who's your Tata? Oh, my Tata is a gangster, big gangster. A Russia, ben Russia. He's singing right. My Zayda is saying no. The Torah tells you the Yichas of Rivka. What does it say? It doesn't beautify her. It doesn't say Yitzchak married Rivka from a far, far away land, from a very distant place. No. It says she was the daughter of the wicked man, Besuel. The sister of the wicked man, Lavan. Lavan Arami. Arami Ayvadavi. That's her Gvalt Yichus. What's her Yichus? The horrible place that she grew up in. If the Torah wants to teach me that Rivka was from the city of Padan Aram, just say he married Rivka from Padan Aram. He married Rivka, the sister of Lavan Arami from Padan Aram. Ela Avia Ramai, her father is a liar. V'anshim Mekoyim Aramayim, everyone there is crooks and criminals. V'tzadek is Azu Yotzan Bentayim. And this tzaddikus was able to rise up despite all those difficult conditions, growing up in the hood, in the gang, and coming out beautiful. That's what the Torah is describing. A rose, it's that stam that the rose grows amongst the thorns. Scientifically, why do rose bushes have thorns? Do they make roses? They genetically, yeah. Right? Like the same way they make grapes without seeds, they make roses without horns. Yeah. What's the thorns do?
It protects the rose. From what? From being.
And the pshat from predators and people to pick it. I don't know from what. What is it for?
Foragers.
Flowers or from birds or from. The rose gets a lot of attention. Smells. It looks. Birds see roses from. Birds also see. They see colors different. the colors that they need to see, they see them in like neon. You've seen this, like the way they birds see things.
Yeah, I mean, like another way, like flies see, like they have like a million different lenses.
Fly, right. So they see these things. You know, they have 500. They have 500 flies having each eye have like 500 eyes.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. That's why, like you think you're gonna catch a fly, but you're like,
right? Like, how do they do it?
I have a salt gun. It works. I'm like, finally.
Yeah. An assault gun for flies?
An assault gun. It's just that's, basically oh, a that's, I thought they just sent
it. Oh, assault gun. I'm like, assault gun for flies? Man, I was this guy's house is punctured.
No, literally an assault gun, though.
It's on your head.
Wait, wait, it's wait, actually a defensive gun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You gotta be careful.
What does it do to them? It makes them blind? Or
causes them? Splat. It goes with like force. So
today,
it destroys them.
Today, yeah, I literally, like, there's a fat fly in the dorm. I grabbed it. Salt. I didn't even kill it. I grabbed it. It was so big that I took it and I threw it out the window. I felt like a.
Some bugs are good. They eat the mosquitoes.
So next time you find a bug, put him in this room.
Okay, I'll open it. No, because he was. Oh, I thought
the
wire.
Don't move me close. Just there.
We have bugs in our room.
Yeah, we have it anyways.
Maybe you have bugs in your room, huh?
Yeah.
There's no window.
No window in your room.
I mean, there's no window in the hallway.
No screen.
Oh, there's no screens by the windows?
No, some of them do.
They all have screens.
The porch level windows have screens. Our level does.
No, ours does. Ours does not.
No, all the windows should have screens.
What?
So check. Maybe they took off the screens when they were painting. Maybe they took. They should put. You should have screens. The window comes with screens. These are brand new windows. What?
Slips my mind until I open up the window. I'm like, I gotta get a screen.
And you have bugs coming in there?
Yeah, but then, but a lot of...
good. You know, I love seeing the bugs. Like, I lay it down, I'm just so...
Like, cool. Wow, I'm so happy I'm living in a real organism of life.
It reminds me of home. Like, reminds me of the farm.
I'm on the top of the food chain.
By the way, during certain seasons on my farm, when it's like around the neighbors around me, when it's all like harvest corn season, there's like corn beetles. And they're like hiding in the corner. A harvester comes and does it. They're all like, okay, where do I go? So they would be literally at times like a million of these beetles on the side of my house. Like you couldn't see.
What do you do with them?
The siding.
Chickens,
no. How much?
Some cake.
You just wait till the season's over.
How long is that?
Till they die out. A few months.
Wow.
No, so no, like, not a few months. A few weeks.
Yeah, but that's gonna go. You're going from bug to bug in the agriculture core, like. I mean, there's times that are more buggy, like the beginning of the spring is
like,
very...
Yeah, I want to get a backpack spray in, and without them make all our
but when the flies, and teas when and the flies come in the room, you could just...
And the inorganic...
When the flies come in the room, you could just wait. You could just wait. Open the window and wait till they just fly back out.
Okay.
The flies out. There's 10 more that
Let's finish this measures before we go on about the flies.
That's why I was itchy during the night.
No, we leave the ones that eat the mosquitoes.
Okay, so we see, it's interesting that we're learning this matters, and actually earlier we were talking about yichus, is that actually, Nachman Tzvi, dafka, a person's difficulties could sometimes be their yichus. And you see that when the Torah is speaking about this shidduch, this prime shidduch, the shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka is the shidduch. That's when Yitzchak, Avraham Avinu tells Eliezer, go get my daughter, my son, a shidduch. Like that's when the Torah discusses love, and Yitzchak loves her, and marriage. We learn so many, many, many things about this, Yitzchak and Rivka. And see that Davka, the Yichus by her, was thriving through the difficult conditions. And we understand that it's not Stam that the conditions are difficult. We speak about this a lot, that the difficulties are not meant to disappear in our life. They're meant to be pickled. They're meant to be transformed into sweetness. Even our Yetzer Hara is the ultimate difficulty in our life. Yes, we're meant to first... smash him and break him. But eventually we're meant to convert him. As we say, Ezu Gibor, again, Pirkei Avos. A Kayavish is Yitzhar. What's Kayavish, Jack?
Ezu Katan Besamech Bachako.
Ezu Asher.
You're also adding value.
No, so wait, Ezu Gibor. What does that mean? No, Ezu Gibor.
Who's a great person?
No, who's his hero? Who's a warrior?
Samech.
No. Ezu Asher.
What's okay.
That's from the Thank You Hashem song. It's the billionaire song. Ezehu Ashir. That's a billionaire. That's a Sameach Bechelakoy. Good. Ezehu Gibor. Mitch is about to come out with a song about Ezehu Gibor. Who's a hero? Not the guy with the big muscles. Right, we're watching the boxing with the... You know, you saw that Abad Hashem?
Yeah.
So this guy, like, it's like.
Oh, the Israeli one?
The Israeli guy is smashing people up all day now.
He's a new.
Yeah, he's the new smasher.
Wait, what happened?
He did a smash.
These Israelis are good fighters.
No, yeah, yeah, yo, it was crazy.
Like, vicious. What's vicious, the power vicious, slap?
Like, no. Like,
boxing and
power slap? He slapped him with his foot. Like, this guy's like.
You know what power slap is?
Yeah, but that. MMA. But, Uber. Aber, however, Eze was Shir, let's stick to the topic, stay focused.
Chavis is Yisro.
Eze was Shir, Asamech Bechelko.
Eze Big Gavir.
Right, that's an addition. But Eze Gibor, who's a hero, a Kovesh is a Kovesh, the Chibosh means to conquer. So the first shot is we have inside of our animal soul that want to be conquered, like we spoke this morning, but all Malach Hashemim, the yoke. No one wants to wake up in the morning. No one wants to do the... You know, everyone has their nisyanis. But Hashem, you said to do it. I'm putting the yoke. I mean, I'm doing it. I want to look at her. I'm not looking at her. I want to say Lashon Hara. I'm not saying Lashon Hara. I don't want to be stingy. I'm not. I'm going to be generous. Whatever it is, you're reversing. You're kovish as Yitzhak. You're fighting. That's the beginning of life. Then comes the stage of Ishapcha, where you transform. That's like kovish, the word kavush, is also pickled. Kavushka mavushal. We have a din that it's on Shabbos, it's also to cook. Am I allowed to pickle stuff on Shabbos? Nope. Right? Don't tell us how now.
Let's say.
But cooking and.
Let's say I make a salad. I make a salad and I leave it on the table with and vinegar. It pickles.
No problem.
With vinegar. I can't make salted salad.
You could.
Vegetables and salt.
That's not the direct to pickle. We don't tomato. That's not how you pickle a cucumber.
Right. So
you don't cut it up with a tomato and add pepper on it and add olive oil and that. No, that's not. That's how you eat. How you pickle is that you take something, you close it in the jar, you go to the mikveh, in 3 weeks you'll come out a pickle. That's how it is. So that means that the ultimate of us is not, yes, at the beginning there's a lot of like strong arm, like I'm not going to listen to you, and fighting, a lot of fighting. At the beginning means your entire life is, you can have this level. But there's a level of iskaf, of a koivash yitzhar, where you transform the yitzhara. Where you, and at that point, all the struggles and the weaknesses all transform into strengths. Meaning you're not just saying, I'm not using you and you're bad and I'm just going to, that's the beginning. The beginning, like I'm too weak. We're too weak at the beginning of our war to turn him into our slave. So first we just smash him down. But after he's knocked out, they will say, come brother, you're working for me. And now you have inside of you, what does the Gemara say, love Hashem with both your yetzers. Love Hashem with your yetzer tov and love Hashem with your yetzer hara. How does that work? So you could say, how do I love Hashem my Yitzhara? That I don't do Averis. That I'm loving Hashem. I'm subjugating my, but I'm not loving with the Yitzhara. I'm just loving. Oh, I have to run. I realize how late it is. Hello. Hey. Oh, perfect.
How's it going?
Oh, Pablo.